Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Hi.
I'm just doing a screen record of the amazing new Apple hack that we discuss in today's show. So if you want to check that out, head to at Lees and Sarah. Guys, it's pretty good. You're faking that you hate it, but we were all
It's a great thing for the phone, but explaining it on
it's
how
just
to
the
do
producer.
It.
I mean,
why didn't you two speak up?
Listen to me.
It's just
why didn't you say
because
we like
in a two-person situation where you can, or three-person situation where you can see what's happening on the screen. And you're all doing it together.
Yeah, I know, Sarah, but we had a meeting. You could have said, let's not fucking do this.
Whoa!
Oh, I forgot.
God, now we've got another put a warning at the top of the podcast.
Hey, everybody, there's a warning for this podcast. There's probably going to be more of that. Lee's upset.
I forgot that we weren't on holidays.
Because we know what happens when she's upset.
Yes.
And what threats she starts throwing around.
I'll Carpaccio the shit out of
there
you
we go.
In a second.
So Lise and I had a quasi-fight on Instagram yesterday because her default for anything when she's feels personally attacked or slighted is to tell someone that they wouldn't survive in an apocalypse and she would.
I only speak the truth.
It's some kind of like alpha female thing. Like, you better be on my side because if you want to live, I'm going to take you with
How
me.
How would you survive? What's your first three moves in a zombie apocalypse?
Well, take out the zombie.
I don't believe in zombie apocalypse.
Okay. She just believes in an apocalypse.
Okay, so
I don't believe in an apocalypse.
So you aren't being attacked. You just don't have food. You have to fight people for food and stuff.
I'm just saying. Also, I'm just going to preface this by saying, Sarah, you're always the one who says to me, I would stick by you.
Well, I'm scared of you. So it would be less scary to stay with you than to be out in an apocalypse. That's my first key to survival.
Sarah gave the example yesterday that one time we had to cross a creek and she didn't want to because she couldn't walk across mossy rocks. And her description of a creek was incorrect. I said to her, you wouldn't survive even in an apocalypse because it was literally like a gutter with a little bit of rainfall cascading over three rocks and she still wouldn't get wet and step across it. So I said, this is a problem.
Lise, you didn't walk across it either. You could see reason.
Because you were
frightened. I'm actually going to be the one who would keep you alive because I would say, Lise, is that sensible? And you would say, no, Sarah, there's a path further down. Great, let's cross over.
I didn't do it because I didn't want you to feel inadequate.
Lise, I saw a video of you that you put on your Instagram, lame, at Lise Carlaw, at the creek, another creek with your kids recently, and you couldn't climb out of a pool with the slippery rocks. You kept sliding down. All right.
My point is I was in the water, though. And if I was in an apocalypse and there was food there, I would get the food for us.
I mean, do you know how unnerving it is to actually have your best friend tell you that they would slice your rump?
I would want you to slice my rump I was already dead.
Please, if I had to do that for you, that would last me one meal.
But that's one good meal, Sarah. If I was already dead and my best friend being a cannibal meant that she could survive an extra day, perhaps long enough for a rescue crew to find her, why would I not want you to
tuck in? I don't think
in?
I could do it. I don't think I could do it.
Rubbish.
I don't think I could.
Rubbish. So if it meant you surviving, would it be difficult? Of course it would be difficult. But it's like a Tucker trial on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me
no,
Out of Here.
Not.
It's mind over matter. Absolutely. But that person has passed over.
Yeah, but then you've got to face their family and stuff when you come back.
Oh, so I'll be like hi, Jacques.
But what
I'll be like,
imagine
hi, Jacques
eating
you.
But what difference does it make?
She sustained me another
That's
3 days
right.
into a rescue.
Like
no.
she did in life.
But what
she
if you get rescued,
me in life and
you get rescued the next day?
Death.
You've just eaten your best friend. The next day someone turns up and you're like, well, I could have survived one more day.
The best friend's already dead. What does it matter if you ate her or not?
I think, how did we initially come about this conversation?
Because there's a movie.
Was it about that true story, the plane crash?
Was it that hammer guy? What's his name?
Army Hammer.
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, yeah, I mean, what?
He wouldn't think twice.
Shock.
He wouldn't think twice about eating.
It's funny because Wills and I recently watched the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie. I've forgotten what it's called. on Netflix, and it was really good, and he plays the husband in it. And Will's, and then I watched Rebecca on Netflix, which is a remake of Daphne du Maurier's old novel. Again, really good. And he's the lead guy in it. And Will's, and I'm like, why hasn't he gone further? Like, he's very handsome. He's a good actor. And then all this stuff has come out. Quick catch up for people who don't know it. It's very, why keep it G-rated when Lisa's done what she's done?
But there's a warning at the top.
Yeah. But it's very like BDSM cannibalism kind of stuff that's allegedly come out.
There's a big leap though, Sarah, from BDSM to cannibalism. Far out. This guy.
Well, he's kind of obsessed with meat, like his Instagram.
And knife skills.
And knife skills. Oh, God. It's kind of creepy. It was about that plane crash that actually happened.
There was a wonderful movie. What was it? Story of a rugby team.
In the 1970s that crashed in the Andes
Mountains. Yes. The plane goes down. They land atop a mountain. Half of them die on impact, but the other half are stranded in these appalling conditions with no contact being made. And one by one, they unfortunately die off. And at one point, there's two or three of them remaining, and they have to make the very, very tough decision of, do we carve into our frozen, dead rugby mates?
Meat.
Because the bodies have been obviously preserved in the ice, essentially, right?
Mm.
That's the other thing. So when they cut into them delicately, they do it like, you know, thin slices of a bottom. They go where there's more fat, and that actually keeps them alive, and then they are rescued. So I've always said to Sarah, will you be my icy carpaccio?
and
she said yes.
Look, if you want it, feel you need to do that. I'm trying to find it. It was Uruguayan Air Force flight disaster. Hang on, I'm just looking at it. Was Christian's Rugby League team.
Yes.
Three crew. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
There were a lot of them. But they did have to go back and face
Yeah, so
the
they
families.
Were actually gone for like...
It was a
the
long
search
time.
Efforts were cancelled after 8 days, and during the next 72 days, 13
time.
More passengers died. The remaining survivors reluctantly resorted to cannibalism, and 72 days after the crash, 16 were rescued.
Oh, that many?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a big decision.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. I just think it's not like they killed one another and went, okay, so one of us has to die to feed the others. These, their mates were already deceased.
They had extremely little food. The survivors had extremely little food. 8 chocolate bars, a tin of mussels, 3 small jars of jam, a tin of almonds, a few dates, candies, dried plums, and several bottoms of wine. During the days following the crash, they divided this into very small amounts to make it last as long as possible. One bloke ate a single chocolate-covered peanut over 3 days.
Oh my God.
There was no natural vegetation. There were no animals on either the glacier or nearby snow-covered mountain. The food ran out after a week. The group tried to eat parts of the aeroplane, like the cotton inside the seats and leather, and they got sicker from eating those. Knowing that rescue efforts had been called off and faced with starvation and death, those still alive agreed that should they die, the others might consume their bodies in order to live. So there was a discussion. With no choice, the survivors ate the bodies of their dead friends.
And
the
it's
survivor
not like they
described the decision to their dead friends and family. Our common goal was to survive, but what we lacked was food. We'd long since run out of meager pickings, yada, yada, yada. After a few days, we were feeling the sensation of our own bodies consuming themselves just to remain to live. We knew the answer, but it was too terrible to contemplate. The bodies of our friends and teammates preserved outside in the snow and ice contained vital life-giving protein that could help us survive. But could we do it? For a long time, we agonized. I went out in the snow and prayed to God for guidance. Without his consent, I felt I would be violating the memory of my friends. I'd be stealing their souls. Had we turned into brute savages, or was this the only sane thing to do? Truly, we were pushing the limits of our fear. Oh, God, it would just be terrible. Oh.
I don't think it's terrible. I think it's logical, and I think I don't understand why they were so hard on themselves.
Or could not keep well.
About eating their souls. You're not eating their souls. I understand it's a very extreme thing to do, but they are already dead, and as if your mate wouldn't be like, tuck in, you're going to survive. There's a crew around
all
the corner.
All of the passengers were Roman Catholics. Some feared eternal damnation.
Yes, because it was a long time ago, so I understand that spiritual struggle because they weren't and they didn't know better.
Oh.
But now you just look at it and go, it's meat, right? Mm. I think people are a bit more pragmatic now going, if this is life or death.
Well, it's either going to be wasted.
That's right.
It's going to go into the ground.
It's one life for another. Life is already gone. I wouldn't hesitate. Like, I would say that to Dane or my kids. Like, it's purely a vessel.
But then
now.
This guy protected the corpses of his sister and mother.
You can understand that, but I just think, like, what a wise decision.
The show is so light. I mean, it is interesting.
We haven't got to the show yet. We've got to pick it back up.
Hypotheticals. I mean, my God. I don't know.
Sarah, you would let yourself die. But this is the thing.
You'd let yourself die.
This is the thing. We don't know. We have never been in a situation where your survival
not know what you would do.
Your animal instinct kicks in. We have never tested. We have never even approached those limits. And I know that faced with that, an instinct would kick in to survive. And you just tell yourself it is just meat, like finding a deer on the side of the mountain.
I know you don't want to do this, but I think you would be great on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
No, because
she's chowing down on Grant Denyer. Everyone else is doing the Tucker Challenge.
And Grant's like, I'm not even dead, Lise. Relax.
He's like, finger out of her.
He's like, Lise, they bring us food every day in a giant leather
knapsack.
So I
don't understand how we've had conversations about this, and you're like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't eat the whatever, like the concoction of like balls, milkshakes.
Because that's your game. They've gamified.
But if you're that hungry, which they are, if you're on rice and beans.
Yeah, but they're not, that's different. That's not survival. They know they are getting food delivered. They're hungry. That's
Uber
not
Eats
starvation.
Is just around the corner.
They know it's coming. That is like your animal brain is still. You know that at 7 p.m. you're getting rice and beans.
I just think you would be great on that show. Like, I'm never interested in doing it, but if anyone from Channel 10 is listening, I think they should ask you to do it.
No, because I could not.
Also, the celeb thing's a bit of a stretch.
I mean, the snakes. There's always a couple of randoms
Sarah,
they bring in.
Well, look, I haven't known anyone that's on there yet.
A couple of has-beens. I mean, Lise Carl.
Sarah, you could
heard
do the snakes and the
international
cockroaches.
Model.
Yeah, that's fine.
See, I couldn't do that. I could do
and
the
Lise
physical
is a real
challenges.
Screamer, so that makes for great, great audio too. Like, they'd put her on a flying fox and she would just be piercing eardrums in Mullumbimby.
I'd be okay on the physical challenges.
Yeah, because you're strong. She's strong and wiry.
I would not be able to do the snakes, the cockroaches, the freaking bugs. I would kill someone on set. You know how I get. You know how I get with those toads.
True. So which you should never actually verbalise. I mean, that's your first mistake.
Yeah, because they're going to know that.
So now they're like, okay, we just need to, you know, do what happened to Toni Pearon and have a snake bite her five times
in
the face and watch her reaction.
Of roast meals.
She'll eat her dead mates, but don't.
I'm so scared of that.
Don't
sort of stuff.
Give her a Madagascan hissing cockroach in her vicinity, please. I mean, I really can see. I think the people would love you.
Sarah.
I would lead the vote charge.
I'll send an email to the.
Can you just take
Channel
this bit
publicists.
Of the? This bit out of the podcast and send it to.
Can I just inform you? Know what, Sarah? Can I just inform you of who went in last night to the jungle?
No, I didn't watch it.
Okay, exactly. So be very careful because do you know who went in last night?
Who?
A duo.
Scott Speedman.
A duo. It's the two blokes. I mean, look, they're.
Who?
The two blokes from.
Will and Woody.
No, Chatterbox, Googlebox, Gogglebox, Gogglebox.
Right.
The two university mates. You know, those two blokes, the young guys.
Is that show still around?
It is. So they sent those two in and they had to divide the challenge up.
No, I'm not interested in...
Exactly. So don't throw me in because I'm taking you down. You and your carpaccio ass down to Jungle Town.
No, this would be your strength. No. I think you have to play to what you're...
No.
Also, and someone's still got to do the radio show, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not interested
Sarah.
In that kind of stuff.
I'm not going in with
those two girls with Sarah.
Do you know who I did... God, that's my dream. I honestly weigh in here in the podcast.
No,
comments, send us a message, send us a DM. Like, do you think Lee's would be awesome?
You know that
on I'm a quasi celebrity, get me out of here.
And scared, I swear they would not be able to.
But
put
that's
any
awesome.
Of
that yeah,
they'd
beat that out. Awesome
I'd get
TV.
So angry, and I'd really want to like hurt somebody.
They'll put a warning at the top of the show.
And I've been in the vicinity of Lee's when she does get angry from fear and lash out, and I was punched 5 times. Okay. That was when, we've said it before, when we were doing Gold Coast Radio and they brought in this, you know, Australian record holding cane toad.
What? Did they? Never heard that.
And well, it might be for new listeners. You never know.
You guys tell this
you
story
we might have gone up to from 12 to 14.
I don't because I'd rather forget it.
And Lee's went crazy.
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 Crazy. Unbeknown to her. So this is the exciting thing about I'm a Celebrity is that Lise didn't know she had a phobia of cane toads until one was right there with her.
Exactly. There's no way. I would not.
I'd be so bad in the physical challenges. The other night they were doing one where they had to leap from like rock to rock and try and put a kebab in a...
That was fabulous.
I don't know. It was a fake hot dog or something. You know, just a...
They had slime and the incline was quite gnarly, to be fair. And there was zero grip and they had to, sort of leverage their way from rock to rock to right. It was very, very tough. But how fun.
Yes.
That's not a problem.
How's your push-up challenge going? Because I saw you do a push-up the other day.
Yeah, I still can't. I just can't get that.
You got most of the way down.
Most of the way down, but it's just that last bit of strength. To push yourself back up, and
shift.
I don't know what exercises.
There's a shift. I think it goes to your back from your arms.
I really, okay. So I need to figure out what that is because I can probably get down. I would say 66% of the way and push up, but I
very
just
precise.
Need
really
okay.
Done all the measurements.
2/3, but it's that last third where you need to be really strong to push yourself back up, and that's what I need to work on. Mm. But look, you know,
but is it different for men and?
Yes,
women,
well,
because it's chest work. Then you're saying back, like mid top back, between your shoulder blades, under your shoulder blades, lats.
Yeah,
I don't know
and it's your arms still as well,
and it's still your arms. But I wonder if it's a
there's a shift
mind
in muscle
group,
so,
mind muscle. Like instead of thinking of how much pain your arms are in, what would happen if you shifted that to your back, for example,
just
like
try
what
it now.
Jace is saying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you go,
mind.
Instead of going, oh,
well, I know
out.
A lot of it is core too. So you don't want to like do that worm where your lower back kind of
curved.
Is a sway back. So you've got to like really hold your tummy tight and that helps. But yeah, it's kind of frustrating because I feel like I've improved on so many other I have improved. I couldn't even do one, but I can.
Yeah, exactly.
I still want to go
anyone
deep
who does
and
anything
up.
Fast.
The form's not there.
Don't learn
that's
anything.
Right.
Unless you're an athlete.
Don't learn anything by getting there quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
But yeah, it's been good. I mean, look at this.
I know.
That's
look
a
at your
line.
Arms.
That is a line.
It's very good. She's showing us her bicep. She forgets how
I mean,
radio
it's,
works.
It's tiny, but it's there, and it hasn't been there before, and that's exciting for me.
I think we should get into the show.
Oh, God, we haven't even done
that
yet.
No, we haven't done that yet.
Oh, here's something light and
18
fluffy.
And a half minutes in.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, here's the show.
Are we going to come back?
Oh, look, yes.
We do have an interview to do this morning.
We do have an interview to do, so maybe we...
All the good stuff's already been said. So.
Yeah, let's not come back.
Oh, who's feeling lazy? Lazy Jace,
no,
living up to
I'm
his
just,
name
oh,
in 2021.
I'm saving you guys from having to...
Sarah, I do agree because we're going to be putting up an extra podcast today anyway.
Oh, yeah,
so,
we are.
Let's do that.
Yeah, true.
Should we tell everyone who it is?
Yes, because maybe you might be able to do your homework before you listen to the next podcast. Okay, here's a bit of homework for you.
If you've got 40 spare minutes today.
36 minutes. Go to Netflix. There is a show a doco called The Speed Cubers, and it's a deep dive into the subculture that is Rubik's Cube freaks. Okay, geniuses that can solve a Rubik's Cube puzzle in, like, we're talking like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
It is the most remarkable story of an Australian speed cubing world champion and his unlikely rival slash best mate on the other side of the world in America, a bloke called Max, who is on the autism spectrum, as a lot of speed cubers are, as we find out. Anyway, go watch it. We have Felix on the
show.
Who's
the Aussie, the young the Aussie. World champion.
Two-time world champion speed cuber.
Speed cuber. A remarkable man.
I look at him and I just think, God, his parents have done good.
I just think when
I just think like the way he has been, he's only what, 19?
I think 20 he's maybe older now.
No, oh, he'd be in his 20s.
I thought he was mid-20s.
He won the world champ in 2011 and yeah.
He's older than 19 because he's now a financial.
Well, yes. Okay, so he's finished uni.
Yeah, I'd say early.
Which
mid-20s.
Is often when Rubik's Cube champions, you know, move on because they enter adulthood and they don't have the time to be practicing. But he is just the most delightful human and is so kind and such a good sport that, in fact, I think if you've got kids around you as well, make them watch it.
I would want my kids to watch it. And if you are the parents, perhaps, of a neurodiverse teenager or child, this is such...
It's just beautiful.
I love how Netflix and all those streaming services are now bringing... shedding light on different types of humans, you know, not just your jocks or not just your, you know, supermodels or what. All of a sudden we're introduced to all these interesting people who do life differently, you know, and they're heralded as champions and things to aspire
to. Or even I think it's those activities that you just think are nerdy activities, right? Like, I mean, Queen's Gambit, classic example.
I mean, there was a movement.
Who would have thought that,
things?
You know, however many 63 million households would have watched a show on chess. This Rubik's Cube thing is the same. So
it's
I was
same.
Watching it in prep before we chatted with Felix last night, and Wills walked past the lounge and I was like, what are you watching? And I was like, oh God, it's this there's Rubik's Cube world champions. And he was like, oh God, all right. Then he ended up standing behind me because he's got this weird thing about just standing and watching TV. Like, can you just
That's
sit down,
thing.
Mate? Like,
That's
just show
thing.
Me that you're interested. Just sit down.
Yeah.
And he ended up pretty much watching the whole thing too and saying, they're like, God, he's really good for Max, isn't he? Oh, that's, you know, it was just.
Because it's a story of friendship. As well, but it's shot in documentary style.
It's
and you
so
get
good.
Equally invested in
Max,
the skill
and Max's parents and algorithms.
Oh my God.
Even when, right? So when you watch
Don't give
the show.
Too much
no,
away.
No, no, no.
We've got a whole other podcast.
I know. When you watch the show. When you watch the championships, right? So there's somebody who sits at the table beside the Rubik's
Cube. Yeah, like not a judge.
Yeah. And the Rubik's Cube is covered
with a cloche.
Then they pull off the cloche and the person gets, 6 seconds to look at it, inspect it. And in that time, they're obviously calculating
the algorithms required
to move
the colors
all,
around.
And then they put it back down. They have their hands on some buzzery thing. The time starts, and then within 7 seconds, six seconds, five seconds.
And this is the other thing I didn't know about Rubik's Cubes.
How many cubes there were.
How many different types of cubes. There's a 3x3, there's a 4x4, there's a 7x7. And then there's a
12x12.
There's a whole category called one-handed, and they solve the cubes with, I mean, the dexterity
in
those
fingers. So the ultimate one is, what is it, the 3x3?
The 3x3 is
the
big.
The traditional original cube.
Yeah.
I've never been able to get a cube in my entire life.
I can
life.
Get one side done and that is it. But I loved how they talked about muscle memory as well. You know, that the brain computing the algorithm is one part of it, but then knowing those algorithms so well that your body then takes over and that's when the speed kicks in.
Yes.
That it just becomes like a reflex of going, okay, to get blue from this side of the cube to this position on the cube, it's under, over, whatever, and then it's just speed. I mean, incredible.
Anyway, if you want to know more.
Go watch
that
it, guys.
Honestly, up today
yeah,
at some
that's
point.
Just the kind of technicalities of it, but definitely watch the show.
Yeah.
Really great.
And our podcast with Felix coming Coming very soon.
Felix Zemdegs. What a name.
I know, right? What How cool name. Is that name?
A name.
Anyway, we're going to go.
All right, we've got to go. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, here's the show, I mean.
Here's oh,
the show.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't got there yet. Here's the show.
We're not coming back.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up. I'm ready to
Good morning, good morning.
Hello, how are we?
Good, good. Some happy news overnight out of the US for Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel. Now, Justin was on a video interview with Ellen DeGeneres where he let slip that back in July last year, he and his wife, Jessica Biel, welcomed their second son into the world.
So did anybody know they were pregnant?
Apparently there was speculation around the time, but yesterday on Ellen is the only time it's been it's been confirmed. Now, that's all well and good. Apparently the baby's very cute. Nobody in the household is sleeping, etc. But the name I would like your opinion on, Lise, as somebody who has walked through life with an incredibly unusual first name.
Yeah.
The baby's name is Phineas. P-H-I-N-E-U-S.
Love it.
Lise, don't you think this is a cycle repeating of parents with very plain names, Justin and Jess, who then desperately want an unusual name for their kid? And little Phineas is going to have to go through life going, no, not F-P-P-H-I-N.
But Phineas with a P-H.
Phineas has a baby. He's just going to call it like Sam.
Yeah, Bob.
Wasn't there a cartoon?
Yeah, Phineas and Fern or something?
Yeah, something
but guys,
like that.
I'm actually surprised that they've gone with that name. I thought you were going to give me like one of those very modern, like non-names.
This is so ancient. This is like Hebrew with Egyptian roots, and it means something like mouth of brass.
I mean, I wish you hadn't have said that.
Hey, brass mouth.
Yeah, or something about one with the bronze or brass skin, something along
it's
those
very
lines.
Pharaohic.
Well, they've got their first son who was born in 2015,
so
whose name is Silas.
Ooh, hold on. That gives me strong Tom Hanks vibe with the freaky monk who whips himself. What? You remember that movie? What was that movie called? When he's in the Louvre in Paris?
Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code. Isn't the crazy murderous monk's name Silas?
Oh, it could
it
be.
Someone Google
so
it.
So what are they trying to do here? Be gods.
I don't know if you'd want to call
I mean,
call
they are very attractive, those two.
Well, they are.
Can I tell you something about
gods. Genetically blessed.
Can I tell you something about Jessica Biel? And I know you're going to roll your eyes.
Here we go.
I crossed paths with her in an airport
yeah,
once.
Did no she look way. At you?
No way. When Jessica Biel was but a child, a teenage star in Seventh Heaven, that abomination of a television show.
That was a great show.
Well, it was because I just watched it during like just procrastinating during exam block. Yeah. Exactly. But I remember, Sarah, that show coming up and I was looking at this young girl going, she's going to be a star
one
day.
Oh, what? So you predicted the fact
you know
that she's
I've scouted
models symmetrical
before.
And beautiful.
Yeah, but I was
of
like,
course she was going to be a
child
star.
Then. I was like, that girl's going to be a star. I'm going to watch.
All the casting agents
okay,
listen
here we
to
go.
Leave.
Carl or Casting, Inc.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Look, I know it's the 19th of January and we're well and truly into the first month of the year, but I would like to discuss my New Year's resolution.
Sure, you know I love an NYR.
Yes, so
especially on the 19th.
Especially an acronym
when it's already
that doesn't
broken.
Exist. So 2021 for me is about rectifying poor behaviour in myself.
And there's so
and
much
that is,
of it.
The main one is how over the years I have spent an inordinate amount of time and money at the shops or perusing shopping apps on my phone. So I said no more. 2021 is the year where I buy pre-loved vintage or I borrow fashion for the entire year. I'm not buying anything new.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I know the fast fashion thing is actually secondary to this because for me it's breaking that cycle of using the shops as a bonding activity with friends and just
perhaps.
A distraction and also just discretionary spending. I've recognized in myself that I can go to the shop. I don't spend inordinate amounts of money, but I certainly would have no problem handing over 10, 15, 20, 50 bucks for something and get that little dopamine hit of like, oh, I've bought something, and then pretty much never use it. I mean, here's a fun fact. Mm. On average, people wear an item of clothes 7 times before discarding it. All right. Not me anymore.
And I think your average is lower than, like, yours is much lower.
Okay, wow. Thank you.
No, but
I've worn this shirt 19 times this year.
Yes. Yeah. I know. But this is me at 40 saying no more.
No, I'm shedding that old skin.
Okay. So what that means is.
But keep the old skin because you might be able to reuse it.
Yes. I've been going to op shops and just, you know, rifling
Sarah,
through.
Sarah, you hate op shops.
I do.
I still hate them.
Still smell weird, but you can get some real treasures in there. And then
the COVID masks are helping.
The other thing is eBay. All right. So okay. I've become a little bit obsessed with the quality and the bargains you can find on eBay.
I thought you're not meant to be buying at all.
No.
She's buying.
But
used.
Used.
It has to be pre-loved secondhand. Keep up, Jason.
Right. Okay. God. Anyway, so Lazy, I'd sent you a list of the things that I was watching in eBay and I said,
well,
what do you think about this? And I have a real love for velvet. I just love that fabric, anything that it's in. And I said, Lazy, look at this Zara velvet blazer that I'm looking at on eBay for $30. It's a beautiful red. What do you think about it? And Lee said, I'm not sure, but
actually, it was boxy for you.
Yeah, right. Next to it. Sure. But see that dusty pink one next to it? I really like that. Could you buy me that? Right? So my New Year's resolution, my first purchase in my New Year's resolution was not for me. It's for piggyback Lee's Carlaw, who has had the audacity to rock into work today wearing the said dusty pink,
knowing that you were going to talk about this today.
Blazer that should have been mine.
This is what support looks like. This is what friendship looks like. If you say to me, I am buying pre-loved and I'm buying velvet, well, so am I.
She just saved you like however many dollars.
Single white female.
Okay. Pot kettle black. Our entire relationship has been you pot kettle in black.
Get Invisalign. Lee's gets Invisalign.
Oh my God, I'm going to punch her.
I wear a white shirt to work. Lee's wears a white shirt to work. It is crazy. Protect me, please. You're not seeing my watch list anymore.
I'm going to throw your puppy off a balcony.
Oh my God.
I don't have a puppy.
Guys, it's in a movie.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
If you haven't heard the latest news, I'm here to break it to you all that the sea shanty, the humble sea shanty from centuries old merchant sailors, is the new song genre of 2021. Now, this is after a young bloke by the name of Nathan Evans. He's 26 years old, Sarah. He's a Scottish postman. He got on the TikTok, okay, as all the young people do, and he started singing sea shanties.
What will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor early in the morning? Away,
okay, how good. Now,
yeah, that's a primary school song.
That's right. Pretty much overnight, his account went up by 440,000 followers. That particular video got 1.1 million views, and now people are inundating his feed with more sea shanty requests. Now, a lot of the kids that are following him have probably never really heard a sea shanty. And they are just, I suppose, mesmerised by the beat and the fact that anyone can sort of join along. Yeah. You don't need to know how to sing. Here's another one.
She had not been 2 weeks from shore when down on her a right whale bore. The captain called all hands and swore he'd take that whale in tow. Soon
I mean, it's great. For me, I've watched season one of Outlander about 8 times. So for me, that's just the entire soundtrack to Outlander.
Well, I mean, like, no word of a lie, this has kicked off a huge international trend. So much so that he's quitting his job as a postman and he's basically secured a record deal because this is an actual resurrection.
Goodness me. I hope there's some piracy laws around his music.
Well, I was about to say, wouldn't they be out of, they're in the public domain now, wouldn't they?
Yes, no copyright.
You know, yeah. It's interesting, right? People are saying because he launched this, technically it was like middle to end of last year, people are saying because everyone was in lockdown that there was something about the rhythmic nature that and that's what the sea shanties were for, right? Mm. It was when the sailors had to do repetitive tasks that it would keep them in sync. And there's something about the human brain where you just fall into rhythm. And because we were so bored in lockdown, you know, women are doing their washing to it.
No,
and scrubbing on a board.
I feel like you might have made this up.
They're unpacking dishwashers. They're like pegging.
Cooking dinner over an open fire.
The point is,
massaging their husband's feet and
saying, darling, do you need that eye?
They're sewing COVID masks, they're sewing eye patches. Okay, it's all come back. The point is, Sarah, I would like us to think of other song genres. Why don't you and I get on TikTok? I want to bring back, like, remember Bingo? Remember that song genre? The spelling song genre.
Yes.
Big fan. Get around it. B-I-N-G-O. You and me on TikTok. There's other genres that we can
clean
bring back.
My washing go.
Yeah, women are doing their laundry to it. All right, I'll have a think. Let's play some modern songs while we have a think about ones to bring back from the 1700s.
I wish you didn't say it because we're going to commercials.
Oh, no.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Sea shanties are back in 2021. The genre of music that sailors were quite partial to, it goes something like this.
What will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor?
That's 26-year-old Nathan Evans, who's become a TikTok phenomenon. He's a Scottish postman, well, a postman no longer, because it's gone so viral that now he's recording his own sea shanties for a record deal. So it's made me think, if Nathan can do it, what other song genre, Sarah, can we bring back or deserves to have a second wind? I'm quite partial to the spelling genre.
There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was
it's a metal version of this.
I would like to lift it from a preschool. Didn't Taylor Swift try and spell something in her song? What was it?
You love Taylor.
Jace, what was it?
She does spell it.
No, you think of Gwen Stefani, B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
That's
a great example.
Shit's bananas.
Yes, that was good.
No, Taylor does it too. I know what you're talking about.
It's like there's no me in.
Yes, there's no me in.
I haven't even started looking for the song because I don't care.
Irritating. All right, okay. Another genre to bring back. I stand strong on dance genres, okay? Not the TikTok dances, Renegade and all those kind of things
count.
Are too
you
hard.
You mean the Nutbush.
I want like Nutbush, Macarena.
But like, so you want someone to come up with a new one?
Yes, for the masses, not just for people on TikTok, okay? Because once you know those moves, they're so ingrained in you and it has to be a song popular enough that when it comes on anywhere, people, you know, drop their handbags, put their wine on the table and go and dance.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like riding a bike, those moves. It doesn't matter.
Also, even the last one I can think of is probably Spice Girls when they did, stop right now. Thank you very much. I need somebody.
Hey, you pointed
always
out.
Always on the run. Got to slow it down. Then you slow it down.
Do a figure of eight.
Have
with
some
hands.
Fun. Yep. So that would be my
what about
suggestion.
Record scratching genre? Wiki, wiki.
Shake that healthy butt. Baby got
fat. I mean,
we haven't heard a wiki wiki.
Baby, in fact,
see,
you
can't hear that.
Any songs about anacondas. So
we can spell, anaconda.
Yes. And then do a little dance.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Guys, I have an incredible new phone hack that we just have to share amongst ourselves. If you're not an Apple user, you can change the channel.
We feel sorry for you.
I mean, what else is on at this time in the morning, really?
This is only for, but you know, there's someone in your life that has an Apple phone, so actually please hang around. Okay, so here's what you need to know. You know when you do a screenshot, Sarah, how do you do that? On your phone.
You click the side button.
Side and side button. Mm. It's kind of awkward. It's not always easy, really.
I mean, it is pretty easy, but I'm guessing you've got an easier way.
I've got an easier way, guys.
What?
I know. Okay, so if you turn your phone around, you'll see the beautiful silver Apple symbol on the back of your phone.
I mean, you might have to take your cumbersome case off, but it's
You
there.
May or you may not. Okay, if you double tap that Apple on the back of your phone, guess what?
What?
It screenshots it.
Stop it.
Yeah. Who knew? So just boom, boom, Apple double tap. There you go. Now, you do need to go in. I'm going to take you through, and I'm going to also this
There's
on our Instagram.
There's nothing worse than a step-by-step tech process.
Yeah, okay, especially on radio, an entertainment program, and let's explain to people how
like
to go through
Lise
their phone.
When Lise would explain how to do math equations to us.
Or when she tells Fingerline how to do the seven times table on your fingers. Even. That was extraordinary.
It's the equivalent of dreams, talking about dreams on the radio.
Oh, that's a place for dreams.
You know what? You guys are such fakers, though, because in the meeting, you were like, oh, please tell us step by step. Let's all take our phone cases off and do it together. So now you're going to suck it up. You're either going to go to our Instagram at Lise and Sarah, or you're going to listen to me tell you how to do it. You go to your settings, open your settings to pull to the side of the road while you do this safely. Settings. You go into accessibility. I'll give you a second. Then you go into touch. Okay? Then scroll down, and then you're going to hit back. Tap.
Back tap.
Back tap. And then you're going to select double or triple. There you go, guys.
That's what I got in bed last night.
Sarah, that's very crude.
No, a tap on the back. A tap on the back. A tap on the back. That's what I meant. Not no. Why would I say that?
Why would I say that? Why have you taken it down this path?
I didn't take it down that path.
Sound like
Don't
you
be
did.
No, I wouldn't say that. Guys, you know me. Come on. Also, I'd pretend to be asleep.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up. This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
There was a momentous occasion in my 9-year-old daughter's life last week when we returned from our little holiday away up in North Queensland. Now, she had begged us for a desk for Christmas. Begged, 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 right? That's what she wanted.
How old is she?
She's 9. She's going into grade 5 this year, right? So I suspect she's really tired of doing it at the island bench around me while I'm cooking dinner. So we bought her a desk for Christmas, but we didn't get a chance to put it together before we left on holidays. And my mum and dad came to stay at my place, and dad told me that he had put the desk together for her, but I didn't let her know. So when we arrived back home, I said, "Dad, go down to your room, open your door," and I filmed her reaction to her desk that had been put together. I mean, listen to this.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Do you love it?
Are you crying? Thank you so much.
And that's Nana's so rearranged cool. your room.
Oh my god!
Full tears.
For a desk?
For a desk.
I can't wait to do my homework.
The thing is, we didn't even have a chair for it. So wait till she gets a bloody
She's
desk
kneeling.
Chair for you. She's on a stool. I love it. I'm like, that's how you'll do your homework for the next 7 years. Upright, upright, upright. It's a standing desk. We don't need that. But I thought, God, can you remember the joy of getting your own workspace? But she doesn't yet realise she will be, because we don't have one at work. We don't have a desk here in our office.
No.
So I feel like if our boss has actually said to us, Lise and Sarah, you've got a desk at work, would our reaction be, oh my God.
I mean, it would make our employment feel more secure.
We've only been here, what? This is our fifth year, I think, going into.
They sell it as hot desking, but like, really? It's really like, we're not sure how long we're keeping you around for.
We laugh, but it's sad and true.
All right. We're going to get out of here.
All right, guys. Another day, another dollar. Go get them.
Okay.
Tickety-boo. Off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls Catch-Up. But you can score even more catch-ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.